Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 240. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps me to continue to highlight the great people in our business. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically Woodway, for bringing this episode to you for free. I only partner with vendors and sponsors that I believe in. And Woodway by far makes the best treadmill out there, and just do a fantastic job of giving back to the community. This week, I'm joined by Pat Lindsay. He's a performance coach up at Reach Your Potential with Bobby Smith, and they just, it's a facility, performance facility that I think quite a bit of. And not only are they doing a great job by their community, but they're also turning around and they're giving back to the community in terms of educational products, strength and conditioning, community through, videos and resources and things along those lines. So, Pat, really appreciate you taking time coming on the show, man.
Thanks a lot, Coach. It's a pleasure to be here. Big fan of your show and great opportunity.
Thanks, man. Well, hey, you've kind of gone, you've been in this business long enough to have a few stops along the way. Rather than go into all the different stops, give me the experience that you had that best defines you currently.
I would have to say probably going through the internship program at Reach Your Potential Training, having coaches above me such as Coach Bobby Smith and Coach Adam Fight, I don't think I could name two better people to learn under. I mean, just the detail-oriented mindset that they have and focusing on the athletes first, it was just something to grow off of.
Yeah, no, those guys are – both of them have been on the show before, and both personal good friends, and they're incredible that way. What about the experience maybe separated it out from others?
I think giving me the opportunity to kind of grow by throwing me in the fire. I had a couple opportunities at some certain colleges where I got a chance to kind of be a fly on the wall, kind of stand in between racks 4 and 5 and make sure, no one was getting hurt. But when I got to Ripped, it was, hey, coach, like, this is how we do our program. This is how I want you to coach the program. And we're going to give you 2 weeks to learn it. And then week 3, you're in.
Right. And
learning by doing is something is the way that I learned the best. And the opportunities that they gave me to do that were above and beyond.
No, I couldn't agree more. Well, when you get thrown into the fire like that early on, you can't do that without making some mistakes. What's one of the biggest mistakes you made and how you learned from it?
Wow. Being a young coach, I think I'm continually making mistakes even today. I'll definitely make some mistakes today when I coach, but, looking back on it, I think, I started at Rift right out of college. So I was 22 at the time, and coaching other athletes who are, if they're at the college level, they're 19, 20, 21. So they're basically the same age as me. I think being able to separate, coach-athlete relationship between being friend-friend, buddy-buddy while in the weight room, that was definitely some things they took away. You got to be their friend, but you also got to be their coach. And some athletes I think I connected too much with in terms of I had a baseball player. He was, cool kid. I was like, oh, this guy's pretty cool, but I got to be his coach for that hour and a half. So turning on the switch of coach and friend was definitely the mistake I made.
Yeah, I think we all make that, especially early in our career. I was a head strength coach in NFL Europe at 22 years old, and then head strength coach at the University of South Florida at 23. And you're right. I mean, a lot of those guys are close to the same age, and they're cool guys or cool girls, and you want to hang out with them. But at the same time, you gotta. I think something that was a big takeaway for me. Somebody, I don't know who told me this. But for those young coaches that are listening, I think it's really important that you establish I'm Coach McKeefrey or Coach Mack or Coach whatever, as opposed to being called by your first name. Not only is it an honor to be called Coach, in my opinion, but I think it also helps the athlete just when they say that, there's a level of authority there, you know, that they know to respect.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I would recommend all young coaches do. And it's odd and it's awkward at first, but eventually it's, you know, when you got that young coach that's being coached, that's been being called Coach McKeefer, Coach Livesey, that it shows the surrounding people the level of respect as well. I think that's important. Well, man, we wanted to get you on the show, you know, specifically to talk about this warm-up product that you guys got coming out with Bobby and you guys really dug in. And what I like about what, you know, you guys do there is that you create systems and processes that serve as a template to kind of keep you honest.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think that that's something that, you know, there's just, especially with warm-ups, it's kind of an afterthought. You know, it's just like, oh, we need to do this so we can get to the real work.
Right.
What are some of the problems that you see out there? Or why did you feel like this was something that needed to be created?
Right. Well, first of all, I just wanted to take a second to thank Coach Bobby Smith for allowing me to be a part of that DVD. Also thank Pat Beath from Athletes Acceleration for giving us the opportunity to share our knowledge with the rest of the coaching world. Can't continue without thanking those guys. But yeah, I mean, the warm-up is so important because, like you said, it's kind of like an afterthought. If you kind of give coaches a template to go off of and make sure we're not missing anything, you know, I think that's the main part. Too many times you have coaches that are just out there getting the blood flow and getting the heart rate up, but we need to make sure that we're hitting hip mobility, hamstring lengthening, you know, T-spine mobility, glute activation. No matter what the athlete plays, no matter what they're doing that day, we got to hit all aspects of that body through that joint by joint approach. And, you know, we obviously took this from Mike Boyle and Greg Cook. We took their approach, but the joint by joint approach from the bottoms up, and just kind of took away with it. And like you said, made a exercise bank that coaches can use, utilize, and kind of pick and plug.
Yeah. You know what, you know, like you said early on, you know, people kind of think of it as an afterthought. And, you know, what are some of the biggest, you know, opportunities that missed when it comes to the warm-up when you do take that joint by joint? We'll get into the structure in a few minutes here. But, you know, when you do take that, you know, that really methodical approach to where you correct things, what are some things that, you know, people aren't realizing that they're missing?
Yeah, I think that just concentrating on each joint, I think that coaches a lot of times miss out on those things. You know, the first thing that we do is our diaphragmatic breathing, and that sets the tone. You know, the athletes come in, they got a long day of school, they're sitting all day, they've probably taken two tests, read three books, whatever it might be. We got to get them in and get their mindset right. So, setting the tone with diaphragmatic breathing. And then as Coach Bobby always says, you know, you got to bring the juice. I think that might be one of the biggest things that we're missing in a warm-up. That warm-up is the first 10, 15 minutes of their entire workout session. You know, if you got a 90-minute session, that first 15 minutes is setting the tone for the rest of the day. So if you're in there and you're monotone and going through that warm-up, those kids are not going to get in there and lift weights the way they need to. They're not going to jump the way they need to. So setting that tone is probably the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely is. You know, there's the mental benefits or the psychological benefits of the environment for sure. You know, I think when, you know, I can't remember if it was Ryan Horn or somebody else, but they did a, you know, kind of a flow chart on a grease board of just, you know, how many minutes. You know, like, you know, by going and, you know, for me, I incorporate a lot of what are considered typically sprint mechanic drills, A skips, A walks, B skips, things like that into the warm-up. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you add that up, you know, five warm-ups a week times, you know, however many workouts, you know, in a session or, you know, in a week or in a month or a year, in 4 years, you know, you start to add up the amount of time that you're working on speed development and, or, you know, CNS with, you know, reactive type of work or things along those lines. or diaphragmatic breathing, which is something that's often missed. And I think when you look at it that way and you approach that to your, you know, you educate your athletes to that as this, if we can take it seriously for this amount of time, that's going to definitely benefit you versus your opponent that might be just getting through it just to get through it and creating bad habits as opposed to good habits. I think it's important, you know, you talked a little bit, you said you start with diaphragmatic breathing. I mean, let's go through kind of that structure. What are we looking at here? What's the right approach?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that with diaphragmatic breathing, it's important to take into consideration the maturity level of that athlete. So, you know, if you're working with a middle school athlete as compared to a college athlete, I don't think you can approach it the same way. You know, the middle school kids are going to be sitting there giggling, looking at each other, poking each other, while the college athletes, you know, they'll get into it seriously. But anywhere from high school to college, what we've started to do, you know, we start with them shoes off. That's the first thing. Get them in there, lying down on their back. We have one hand on their chest, one hand on their stomach. And we're really focusing on breathing using the diaphragm, allowing the stomach to rise instead of your chest rising. So what that's allowing us to do is, you know, take a good inhale breath and then blow out as hard as possible, you know, kind of like blowing up a balloon. You know, we want to exhale, kind of reset the system, get that mindset right, visualizing. And we ask them to take about 10 breaths, you know, on your own time, take 10 breaths, stand up when you're ready to go. And then boom, right from there, we're going, it's all go from there.
So from diaphragmatic breathing, where do we go next?
From diaphragmatic breathing, you know, we have the athletes set up in kind of like a 4x4 grid so that we can see all athletes. If we have a group, you know, our groups don't go any higher than 16 so that we can see all the athletes, make sure everything's going well. But from there, we go into a CNS prep. CNS prep, we go about 15 seconds and we break it up into tri-sets. So there'll be a one, our CNS prep. Our 1A will be, let's say, hip mobility, and then our 1B will be hamstring lengthening. And then, you know, from there, we'll go back around to hip mobility, hit the hamstring lengthening again, and then we'll go into the next tri-set. We always start off our tri-set with a CNS prep, which we perform one time, and then we go into 2A, 2B, which might be, you know, core work, whether it's anti-extension to anti-rotation. You know, if you start moving those limbs, you're going into the anti-rotation aspect of it, and then a T-spine mobility, you know, loosen up that thoracic spine. So like I was saying before, we use the joint by joint approach going from the bottom up, and we really got to focus on those joints, whether they're stable or mobile, whatever their purpose might be, and attack it.
So give me an example then, you know, of a, you know, warm up from start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely. So start in, athletes come in. Like I was saying, they go through their diaphragmatic breathing. Then they'll come out and go into a CNS prep, which might be a high knees. So we'll go high knees 15 seconds, get it going. Go into 1A, 1B, which might be hip mobility. So, you know, we're talking anything from iso squat or a counterbalance split squat. Just loosen up those hips. You know, we might do that on a day one where we're focusing on squats. From there, we'll go into a hamstring lengthening. So we'll go with alternate toe reach, you know, one leg out, toe up, reach down, scoop that up, get that hamstring.
That's 1B, you said?
That's 1B, yeah. So we'll do 1A and 1B twice.
Okay.
Then we'll go into 2. That's another CNS prep. So we're talking jumping jacks, side-to-side jumps, whatever that might be. 15 seconds, get it going, get that heart rate back up. Then we'll go 2A and 2B. 2A could be anti-extension. 2B will be T-spine mobility. So anti-extension, you know, you're talking, you can do a high plank for a phase one. If you want to get the anti-rotation in there, you might do a high plank with an alternate arm raise. So, you know, once you start extending limbs out or up, you're focusing anti-rotation there. T-spine mobility, you know, you can go half kneeling, hands behind your head, just turning to the knee side, focusing on rotating at the thoracic spine instead of that lumbar spine. I think that's really important. You know, tuck that back toe, keep that glute tight, and rotate. Then again, we'll go back to 2A and then 2B. We'll do each of those twice through, making sure we're focusing on that. We'll go into 3. 3 is another CNS prep. So you can do high plank leg jacks. You can do high plank out in with the hands, get the shoulders going a little bit. 3A and 3B, we can go glute activation. You know, that's a fire hydrant. That's a iso hip lift, whatever that might be. Depending on phase one, phase two, phase three, we'll increase the difficulty of those. And then we'll go 3B, anti-lateral flexion. So that's going to be like a side plank. Side plank with a knee raise, increasing that difficulty there. We'll go back into 3A and 3B, do that twice, like I was saying. And then last tricep we'll do another CNS prep, jump jacks, T-jacks, Y-jacks, whatever they are. We'll go quad lengthening, so quad pull, overhead reach, you know, drive that knee down, raise that hand up in the air, get that hip flexor involved a little bit as well, lengthen that quad, and then we'll go ankle mobility, so a half kneeling, 45-degree knee drive. You know, keep that front heel down, drive out, make sure, you know, there we want the knee to go over the toe because we're looking to stretch out that Achilles heel, get the calf involved a little bit. We'll do that twice. Then from there, we'll do a plyo prep. So whatever plyometric that day calls for, if we're doing a long jump that day, we'll have the athletes do a long jump. If we're doing some kind of vertical jump variation, we'll do, you know, make sure we get that snap down, jump up, stick that. So we'll get the shoes on after that. So we've done that whole warm up and the plyo prep with shoes off, strengthen up the feet there as well. Then we get the shoes on and we'll do a moving dynamic prep. So from there, we'll just do a 10 by 10 grid. We'll have the athletes up in two lines, you know, two lines of eight if we have 16 kids. We'll go high knees for 10 yards. If it's a lateral movement day, we'll go shuffle for 10 yards. We'll kind of work on like the mechanic aspects of things. So if we are doing lateral movement, maybe we'll do step replace, push recover, and then we'll go from there. Down and back twice, and then we're ready to go. That takes 15 minutes. So that's 15 minutes of a 90-minute session for high school athletes. We've hit every part of the body from the bottom up. We've got that heart rate up. We've got plyo prep done, and now they're ready to go, ready to rock and roll.
Right, right. When they're in that 4x4 grid, how are you, is one group going, you know, for if they're doing high knees or for CNS prep or whatever, are they going 10 yards? Are they going 20 yards? Is the second line going when they complete it, or are they all going at the same time?
Right. So what we actually do at Ripped is we keep the athletes in place the whole time, except for the dynamic prep. Okay. So during those CNS preps, we have them in two lines. Let's say if it's a 4x4 grid, we'll have two athletes in between each set of cones, two lines all the way down facing each other, and then I'm walking up and down the middle. That way I feel like I can see every athlete, make sure everyone's focused up, and if I do see any you know, movement patterns that need to be fixed, I can go ahead and fix them up real quick. So everything that we do just because of the space that we have is going to be in place. You know, they're in that little space there, but right behind them, we got Coach Bobby's group doing, you know, single leg sprints going out. So we're inside of grid.
Right. No, that's good. What about, you know, obviously something that was missing in there was stretching. You know, is that something that, you know, we believe you're hitting with the prep, or is it something that just don't believe in?
In terms of static stretching?
Yeah, or, you know, or it could be a partner PNF or something.
Right. So definitely I think that with static stretching, we kind of incorporate that at the end of our training sessions. We want the athletes doing dynamic stretching. You know, there's certain studies out there that say that static stretching decreases power production, whatever that might be. There's a lot of different takes on it. But I think that just from the mindset that we have at Rift is that you're in here and we are a go. So we want you moving, you know, holding stretches for like 2-3 seconds, and then we're on. So we'll do like 2-3 second holds for 8 reps each side if we're doing a quad pull overhead reach.
Sure.
So hold 1, 2, put it down, switch sides, 1, 2, repeat 8 times.
When you were training the core in there, when you're doing the anti-flexion or anti-extension, it's not so much for strengthening the core as it is for just activating it, correct?
Correct, absolutely. So we might even incorporate some glute activation in there, you know, hold a low plank and do a leg abduction, kind of strengthen that glute up and keep the core tight.
Are you doing that off a number of reps, time? How, you know, if you're doing a side plank, what are you doing?
Right, if we're doing a side plank, we'll hold that up 12 seconds. I'll kind of make them hold it up. I'll walk all the way through. By the time I get to the other side, I'll say, switch it up. Gotcha. And they'll all flip, rotate to me. That way I can see everybody and keep everybody in line there.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Well, I think, you know, for me, that's always the case. And this is where what I love about what you guys are putting out. And it's, you know, very smart because there really isn't anything out there that kind of lays down a framework. But the thing that I like about it, whether or not you agree, disagree with it, is that you know exactly why you're doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's a bought-in philosophy for the organization. And there's, you know, a template that creates a level of accountability to yourself and to any coach that comes in where, you know, maybe you like seal jacks. Okay. Well, then that goes into CNS prep, you know, and you can play with the variety piece, but within a structure. And I think that's something that young coaches are, you know, as I travel around the world, I see there's really never an issue with, you know, with choice of, you know, a selection of exercises. There's always plenty of exercises. It's just where do you place those exercises in terms of order and sequencing that really is the issue. And so I like that you guys have created a framework that fits for your organization, and then you're turning around and you're sharing that with everybody.
Definitely. Kicking the other right in the head there. It's a big plug and play type thing. So if you don't like, you know, holding the iso squat, hey, make it a split squat, make it a lateral squat, hit a different plane, you know, frontal, sagittal, whatever it might be. Pick one that you like that fits that category, that fits your athletes the best, and run with it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Well, man, we end the show with a couple of resources here. What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Damn, best piece of coaching advice. If I pick one Coach Adam gave me, Bobby's going to give me crap. If I pick one Bobby gave me, then Adam's going to give me crap. I think I got to go with, you know, something they both preached to me, and it's be yourself. You know, if you're out there and you're trying to do too much, the athletes are going to know. You know, you got to be out there, be yourself, and bring the juice.
Couldn't agree more. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Let's see, book. You know, Coach Bobby always gives me John Gordon books, The Energy Bus and The Carpenter to read. But I got to give my mom a little shout out here. My mom, she wrote a book, Living Rich with Coupons. And I wouldn't be where I am without my mom. You know, she works real hard, and she turned a hobby into a business. And that's just something that I took with me in my life. You know, find something that you love to do and do it to the fullest. So shout out to my mom right there.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, what about an app and a website?
An app. You know, I actually listened to you had Jeff Kahn on recently, and he was talking about sleep. And yeah. I've been using the Sleep Cycle app recently. I've actually used it for a couple months now. But after listening to him speak, I recommend that app a lot. Just kind of, you know, you take training and nutrition, but recovery is such a huge part of everything, like he was talking about. And look at how you're sleeping, because, you know, if that sleep bank is off, like he was talking about, your whole day is off. So really focus on that. That's something that I've been using recently.
Agreed. Awesome, man. Well, man, like I said, you know, I truly appreciate any coach that takes on creating a resource of any kind, be it a book, podcast, a video series, anything along those lines. And so, you know, kudos to you and Bobby and the rest of the RIP team. I know it's not just a one person deal to come up with that. But to be able to put yourself out there, and especially being a young guy, you know, to put yourself out there like that, it takes some guts, and that takes, confidence. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's how you grow, you know, and your warm up, you know, this is what you currently know and do. It may hold up for the test of time, or it may be something that 10 years down the road you tweak a little bit, but at least you're sharing what you do. And I think that's a critical piece to the development of a coach. So appreciate you guys. Appreciate you coming on and sharing. And thanks again for putting out the resource.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on here. It was an awesome opportunity, and couldn't be happier.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.